Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Welcome in. Follow the Money is brought to you by ProfitX. And right now you can compete to become the King of March and win free trips up to $10,000. Download the ProfitX app and use the code VSINMM. You know, Pauly, there are so many ways to attack the tournament with your different bets that you have. You can get into Calcutta's. You can have future bets. The first half stuff, obviously. Survivor has taken off and like wildfire. And it's bigger and better than ever this year. We're going to tell you about what we're doing with Splash Sports coming up in about 10 minutes. But right now we go out to the Progressive guest line as Adam Burke joins the program now. He is the managing editor of VSiN.com. And the content that we have available right now is just as good as it's ever been. So many things to read about, including what I just tweeted out right now. And it is Adam's blueprint to playing in a Survivor pool. Happy Madness, Adam. We appreciate it. I have done this twice before, and I loved it, but it is the strategy here for playing in a March Madness Survivor tournament is off the charts. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, in theory, right, in the NFL, you have 32 teams at your disposal on a weekly basis, right? Now, obviously, there are bye weeks in the mix and all of that, but, you know, I mean, you could theoretically take the Browns if you wanted to. You could take, you know, one of the other doormat teams that's out there, the, you know, the Cardinals or somebody like that. You don't want to, but they are at least an option for you. In the NCAA tournament, there are a lot of teams that are simply not an option for you. You know, you're not going to take a 15 over a 2, a 16 over a 1, even a 14 over a 3 is really, really scary. And you're going to have a lot of coin flip games too. So, you know, when you talk about March Madness Survivor, you're going to make 10 picks over 6 rounds, at least based on the format that we have in that Splash Sports contest that you mentioned. And, you know, taking 10 teams, right? How many teams can actually get to the national championship game? How many teams can actually get to the Final Four? You have to save those teams as long as you possibly can. The number one and ideally the number two seeds as well, until at least the Elite Eight, if not, you know, the Final Four. And of course, you know, hoping that you have one or both of the national championship game teams. So it is a very, very strategy heavy type of contest.
What do you think's considered too soon to use a good team? Can I use a good team right off the bat, or is that risky business?
I mean, it's kind of relative, right? It depends on what you think a good team is. So, like, for example, you know, I would look at this and what I wrote about in my Blueprint article is, you know, I would take Wisconsin on Thursday against High Point, right? Are they a good team? Mm-hmm. I think so. Are they a team that could make a deep run? Certainly could. But when you look at their path throughout the NCAA tournament, they're likely to get Arkansas in the next round. I want no part of taking Wisconsin in a Survivor format against Arkansas. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Then they would play Arizona in all likelihood. And then as you kind of go on, they'd probably face either Purdue or Gonzaga. Not excited about that. So Wisconsin is a pretty good team, right? I mean, they are a 5 seed, which is obviously scary in that 12-5 game. But they're a 5 seed. They're a team that plays a high-variance style of game. They could make a deep run. But this is probably the best place to use them. And their clearest favorite role, if not their only favorite role, as we go throughout the course of the tournament. So, you know, if you think Wisconsin's a good team, but you've got to take them now, then I think that's fine. I think Kansas on Friday is a good option against Cal Baptist, because I don't want to play them against St. John's or whoever else they may face as they go forward. So are those good teams, quote unquote? You could say so. Are they great teams? No. Are they elite teams? No. So it's about saving really the elite and the really great teams for as long as you can.
Sure. And maybe you can use a team that you would think is pretty good to win that would be a substantial favorite in round one, but you also like just don't think like their ceiling is very far at all. Like you think they're maybe one and done, or maybe they go Sweet 16, but that's it. You want nothing to do with them beyond round one.
Yeah, and like, you know, for example, I think the easiest pod to kind of talk about that type of thought is in the Midwest, where you got the 5-12 Texas Tech Akron and then Alabama Hofstra, where, you know, Texas Tech, I mean, first of all, if they had JT Toppin, they'd be higher than a 5 seed. But, you know, the fact that they don't, and the fact that Christian Anderson got banged up, like Texas Tech is not a team that I'd really be confident in going forward. I don't even know if they're going to beat Akron, though. And similarly, Alabama with Aiden Holloway now, you know, dismissed from campus and, you know, not going to play at least here in the first round. We'll see if Nate Oates can work some magic going forward. But, you know, even against Hofstra now, like Alabama as a 14.5-point favorite, I probably would have went, yeah, okay, that's an interesting one. I'll kind of look into that. But then the line goes back to 11.5 with Holloway out. And you're like, this one's a little bit dicier. So those are two teams that should win. The odds suggest that they should win. I wouldn't want to take them going forward, but you've got, you know, a key injury and a key suspension there that, you know, kind of throws a bit of a wrench into everything.
Yeah. Paul, what happened last year? All four ones made it, but didn't you say this on Monday that a lot of people burned Duke already? And then they were forced to use Houston in the Final Four because they didn't have, and they got bailed out on that miraculous win.
Yes. Yes.
And then they had Florida still in their back pocket.
Yeah.
So think about that last year and how it went. What's the lowest seeded team that you'd be willing to save this year for a deep run?
I mean, the way that I set it up in the Blueprint article, you know, I set it up, first of all, it's tough, right? Because I'm assuming as I plan this thing out, that the chalk holds up, right? I'm assuming that you don't all of a sudden have a really good team facing a double digit seed in the Sweet 16, something like that, to where that becomes, you know, maybe a little bit more obvious of a pick for you to make. But, you know, I mean, I'm desperately trying to hold on to all the number ones and the number twos, at least into the Elite Eight, and then kind of go from there would be what I would try to do personally from a strategy standpoint. Now, of course, you know, keep in mind, too, you can have multiple entries in most of these Survivor contests, right? So you can take a different kind of approach based on, you know, what you want to do with your entry. You could take a more conservative approach and try to keep the ones and twos as long as you can. You could take maybe a little bit more of a risky approach where if an Arizona gets beat in the Sweet 16, as they do a lot under Tommy Lloyd, like maybe you've got to use them early. Maybe you use them against Villanova or Utah State. And then if they lose in the Sweet 16, all of a sudden you're sitting pretty because you used them already. You got your value out of them. And everybody else who has them available can't use them anymore.
Sure.
So there are times you can take some calculated risks, especially if you have more than one entry in a Survivor field.
Yeah. I love in your story at vsin.com. I love how you plan it all out, broke it down, why you're doing this, why you're going to save these teams, why you wanted to use certain teams in different rounds. And as you said, though, using multiple brackets is probably the best way to go because they can blow up, Pauly, forcing a person to pivot. And like contingency plans must be ready to go. You have to have them ready to rock and roll.
Yeah. I also believe it was in his article using the example last year where so many people used Duke. And so people, you had to step out and take Houston, and then that worked out too. Because it was going back to how many people were going to split the pot if it went to form. And it was, because remember, we talked about, there weren't upsets. But so many people opted Duke, and the people that stepped out and said, oh, I guess I'll take Houston. That worked out for him.
I think Adam's rejoining us right now on the Progressive Guest Line. Adam Burke, managing editor, vsin.com. I have brought up the point this week. I prefer to play Survivor, anything, like NFL this week, with a partner because good chance I'm going to be missing something or not, you know, thinking about every possible angle here. They might bring something up that I don't see. I might bring something up that they don't see. Are you kind of the lone wolf out there playing Survivor contests, or do you also like a partner?
No, I mean, I think that certainly having a partner helps, right? It's a bit of a system of checks and balances. And, you know, again, I mean, the thing about the NCAA tournament is there's a lot of emotional appeals that come into play. And, you know, if you're worried too much about like a buzzer beater, you know, maybe a team gets lucky and then you don't want to back them in that next game, something like that. Like you have somebody who can either be a voice of reason or at least a little bit of a different opinion and help you kind of talk those things through. Also, like with the NFL, we all know the NFL, right? I mean, we all know these teams. We all know these players. We all know these situations, the coaches, how all these teams match up, stuff like that. In college basketball, it's not as simple, you know? So if you're somebody who hasn't been following college basketball since November, like several of us have been over at vsin.com, you know, writing daily articles, like maybe having somebody like that, that you could partner with, is a really big help to you because they've been paying attention all the way through. Whereas there's probably a lot of people that just picked it up, you know, after the Super Bowl in mid-February, something like that. So maybe that's somebody who's going to know a little bit more about the teams than you're going to, especially those mid-majors and kind of avoiding those landmines in the first round. So I always think it's good. You know, and also, you know, if you want to have multiple entries, right, you kind of spread your risk out a little bit by having a partner or two or three, and, you know, everyone's investment is, you know, equal, but not as much as it would be if you were doing four, five, six entries on your own. So that's definitely a positive too.
Yep. You also wrote about a couple of different NIT plays tonight. What do you like?
Yeah, so the NIT was interesting last night. Underdogs went 7-1 against the number. UNC Wilmington's actually a team I threw a little bit on at 100-1, and they wound up knocking off Yale last night. And, you know, a lot of this is about motivation, right? This is kind of bowl season light to some degree of, some of these teams in the NIT have absolutely no interest in being there. None whatsoever. They lost their conference championship game, some of them losing it on Sunday, and then having this quick turnaround to play a team they don't care about, a team that they have not scouted, a team that they have not planned for at all whatsoever. That was part of the reason why I took UNC Wilmington last night.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think a team like Dayton, for example, today, like, I don't know how they're invested in this game, right? I mean, first of all, they're the higher seed in the NIT than Bradley, but because the first four is in their own arena, the NCAA tournament is in their own arena, and they have to go play on the road because they can't use it. And they should be in the NCAA tournament in their minds because they got to the championship game in the A-10. I don't know how they have any investment whatsoever in this game against Bradley. I don't know if the players were asked if they wanted to play in the NIT or not, but also it's spring break at the University of Dayton. If you're not in the NCAA tournament and you've got some NIL money to burn, you'd rather be in PCB or Destin or, you know, somewhere else, not playing in Peoria, Illinois against Bradley in the NIT. Yeah. So I don't think Dayton shows up at all tonight. I like Bradley plus the points and on the money line. And the other thing that we see in the NIT is defense goes out the window. Tempo speeds up a little bit. So the other play that I made is Kent State and Illinois State over 153.5.
Very good, Adam. Great analysis. Thank you so much for the time today. We appreciate that. Best of luck.
Have a good one, guys.
I misspoke earlier, but that was, I meant Yale. That was a horrible spot.
Oh, yeah.
You just lost as a 10-point favorite in overtime, and they got to turn around and play in the NIT.
You will learn more about this outstanding Survivor contest at Splash coming up. And I'll tell you, ACC teams are on a 19-5 run in this spot. ATS coming up next.
Hey, let me get your attention real quick, podcast listeners. It's March, which means the madness is officially upon us, and the folks at VSiN have gone crazy with this one. For $29.99, you get unlimited access to VSiN Pro through May 1st. I'm talking picks throughout the tournament, public betting data for every single game, sharp tools, projections, articles, and more, which means every day you wait is an opportunity missed. Just click the link in the description to get started. It's March, baby. Now back to the show.
Is Follow the Money on
VSiN. All right, so here's the list, by the way. We brought this up in the first hour of 16 seeds to be leading at the halftime against one seeds going all the way back. It happened in 1986. Mississippi Valley State led Duke by 3. It happened twice in 1989. Princeton over Georgetown. East Tennessee State led Oklahoma by 8. In 1997, Fairfield led North Carolina 35-28. 2002, Holy Cross led Kansas. Mm-hmm. 2012, Asheville led Syracuse by 4. 2013, Western Kentucky led Kansas. 2014, Coastal Carolina led Virginia. 2019 happened twice again. Iona led North Carolina. Gardner-Webb led Virginia. That was panic time. That was the year after they lost as a 1.
Yeah.
And they
the
were
next year.
Thing. Yeah.
Crazy.
And in 2023, FDU led Purdue by 1.
Yep.
They eventually won the game.
That's the day you got caught in a cleavage peak by the waitress. It was a great day. That happened. Gardner Webb was beating Virginia. I was all over you because that was when you're like, you watch. I thought you were crazy. Virginia's going to atone and Virginia's going to prove
That's
everyone
right, yeah.
wrong. And
yeah,
then
yeah.
You got caught with the cleavage
peak. Oh, you know, I think we have to, can we find that at some point? We need to play that before the end of the show today.
What's that?
It's a good annual clip to play.
Sure.
Yeah.
Do you have the girl on with Conan too? That's also great. What was her? Pussycat Dolls? How do you pronounce it?
Nicole Scherzinger.
Yeah. She's on with Conan, and she's telling a story. And in the middle of the story, she's like, wearing a low cut top. She goes, Conan, focus. And she keeps telling the story, and the audience lost it. And he goes, yeah, you got me.
You got me.
He's just sitting there, you know. And, that was great. Phenomenal. But that it goes back to you're out of your mind. And how can you say Virginia's going to win it all? And they did. So see if that can happen again.
Let's hit this.
Tell us, seats.
Paulie, tell us more about this Splash Sports Survivor Contest.
$1 million guaranteed contest prizes. High stakes Survivor Contest. 1,000 to enter. $1 million on the line. It's NFL Survivor, but for the big dance. Make one pick per day. Can't use the same team twice. You got the strategy element, which is awesome. Outlast everyone else. You're in for your share of $1 million. And new players using promo code VSINMM26. Get a 50% deposit match up to $100, a free quick picks entry up to $20 on them, and 100% quick picks payout boost on an entry up to $20. Entries close March 19th. SplashSports.com/VEASAN. SplashSports.com/VEASAN. Code VEASANMM26. Create multiple entries. Deadline 7 p.m. Eastern Thursday, so you can get back in if you have a bad morning or if you think you have an edge after the first few games. Pick one winning team per day. Days 7 and 8 are combined into one slate with a double pick. You need two correct picks to survive. Most people go down on that day. And if you miss a pick, it's okay. Auto Picks will assign you a team based on your chosen strategy. You won't get auto eliminated for forgetting. Last one standing wins. If multiple entries survive the final day, the prize splits evenly. Awesome contest. Get in it now. SplashSports.com/VEASAN. Code VEASANMM26. Got to be 21.
My thought on this is similarly to like playing in the contest out here for NFL Survivor. Once you play it and get involved, you're going to want to do this moving forward every single year. You're going to realize how much fun this is.
Yeah.
And I would say that
the strategy too.
Yeah.
Goes back to, you know, you want to use a team. How good do you use a quote, good team, very good team.
Yep.
Or also goes back to maybe I'll just use a team like Wisconsin, like Burke said, yeah, they'll beat High Point, but I don't trust them against Arkansas. And it'll be, that's the only time I use them, and let me get the win in the first round, and I'll just cross them off the list.
I've gotten bounced several years, like in week two, on some of my entries in the NFL Survivor contest out here, and I can't wait until the next year. I got to wait 50 weeks at that point to play it again, and I can't wait to get involved yet again. But I would advise you to probably grab a couple of different brackets, like I said, a couple of different contest entries, and then attack it that way. I like having a partner for sure, like I explained, but the strategy is phenomenal here where you're exactly right. I'm not big into the twos this year. Yeah. I like some of their paths, but do I want to save them to win the national title or be there in the final four? Yeah. I don't.
The last 28 tournaments, only three times did all two seeds make the Sweet 16.
That is wow, how is that possible?
Yep.
Now, they're all huge favorites this year again.
Yep.
Biggest favorites in the last 40 years, like we talked about. But
okay, a double-digit seed has reached the Sweet 16 every year since 2008. How many double-digit seeds will make the Sweet 16 over under two globally? And the highest seed to reach the Sweet 16 over under 12 seed? I don't think a 12 is going to win. Again, they're huge dogs. It's a record this year. Five seeds, biggest favorites ever. So then you're down, again, the success the 11s had and the 10, but I would say I'd go under 12 seed there, big. Highest seed to reach the Sweet 16. Will a play-in team advance to the Sweet 16? Yes, plus 225.
Oh, I think that will happen.
Usually does.
Yep. What's the normal price on that prop? Will a 14, 15, or a 16 win a game? Because you like to attack that.
The no is plus money usually.
I don't think it would be plus money. It's not. We haven't seen it yet this year.
Yeah.
And I don't think books are going to post it. I don't think it'd be plus money this year, would it? Would it be?
No. No way.
I think you're laying a price
I think it works out to $4 if you did the money line on all of them.
Is that right?
I think that's what, yeah.
Let me give you some trends that are up. Steve Mackinnon. In the betting guide here at VSiN, March Mania betting guide, ACC, first of all, their win total is 10 for the conference. Over the last four tournaments, the ACC has a record of 37-20 straight up and ATS. They have covered at a 65% clip last four tournaments. So when ACC teams have been in a pick'em game or a small dog up to 4.5 points, as Mackinnon wrote, ACC teams are currently on a 19-5 ATS surge. One team qualifies in the first round this year. It's Clemson plus the points against Iowa. Mike Palm has a strong opinion on that game coming up in roughly 10 minutes. SEC, their win total is 12.5. Favorites of 20 or more points, 13-1 over the total.
Ooh.
Since 2001, scoring 87.1 points per game. We don't know. Florida would be the only one, but we don't know who they play yet. We don't have a number on that game because they get the winner of A&M and Lehigh.
Well, they're laying 30.
Well, no, I know, but I mean, so I don't know the total in the game.
Yeah, yeah, that'll be a big point spread.
Number four seeds out of the SEC. How about this? Four seeds, 19-26 ATS, under the total 30-14-1. That's Alabama and Arkansas.
That's risky.
Uh-huh.
That is tough.
And Arkansas, you bet against Arkansas. Yeah. They're laying a big number.
And I'm concerned about the hangover. Yep.
Yep.
Yep. And I think Hawaii can hang.
Yeah. And SEC teams are 7-14 ATS against mid majors and 11-20 ATS last 31. Think about this list for a second. A&M gets St. Mary's. Arkansas gets Hawaii. Georgia plays St. Louis. Kentucky gets Santa Clara. They have not fared well at all against mid majors going back. All available, Steve Mackinnon trends with the tournament teams with the March Madness. Check that. March Mania betting guide here at VSiN. Get it today at VSiN.com/guide. I'll have more props that I'll go over a little bit later on in the program with these. That the Mountain West stuff is so good.
Yes.
So good.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we only get one team.
Yep. Yep. This surprised me. The Big Sky is on a 1-25 run. Straight up. Remember Harold the Show Arsenal?
Yeah, how long ago was that, Paul?
I know.
90s?
College. Weber State.
Weber State. Damian Lillard?
Yeah, they lost, though. I don't think they won a game.
Time flies.
Montana State.
Mm-hmm.
Montana, was it Montana? Somebody came right out of the gates early at a 12-5-1, and it was Montana. They beat Nevada. I can't remember if it was Montana or Montana State, but a 1-25 straight up run for the Big Sky. We know about the Big Ten since 2000, their drought. No team has won it west of Texas since Arizona in 97.
Uh-huh. It's great stuff.
This is good. Yeah,
I love these nuggets.
How about this? Since 1985, there have been 16 top two seeds, but odds of 25-1 or higher on futures. Zero made the title game. Zero. That's anti-Purdue. That's Evan Abrams.
Purdue is still 25-1?
Yeah.
Boy, are they popular, though. And I have them going to the Elite Eight, but other people are going having them a Final Four team, or even I think Hoops Peterson picked them to win the whole thing. Wouldn't that be something?
Gonzaga, Purdue would be good if Gonzaga gets there. But that's
how about this is the year he gets it done. You want me to call my shot right now, Matt Painter? This is going to be Tony Bennett all over again, 2019.
It's not a bad path. I can see why people like them with the path.
Love the path.
If your toughest team is Gonzaga, and that's to get to the Elite Eight, you're in business.
Mike Palm is the VP here at Circa Las Vegas. He's coming up next. He thinks the wrong team is favored in this first-round matchup. Find out the teams next.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Good to have you on board. Thanks for watching on YouTube TV, listening on Sirius XM channel 158, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, or any of our great affiliates across the country. It is now time for Wednesdays with the Maestro. Mike Palm is the VP of Circa Las Vegas, the Golden Gate, and the D. Happy Madness, pal. How are you?
Thank you. Hello, Mitch. Hello, Paul. And back on the X is the Circa Maestro.
That at Circa Maestro
it's
now
only,
back.
It's only gone 4.5 months. I had to look it up. October was the last post
you
I
gave
had.
Up? You couldn't wrestle control back?
We tried. We reached out to 7 or 8 different people.
Do you know what happened?
I think that I did one of those these things that I just clicked without reading it, this vote for somebody's podcast deal. Do you know what I mean?
It's funny you brought that up because somebody I follow, he follows me as well. We've never had a discussion ever, like DM. I got a DM from him the other day that said, hey, vote for me. I'm up for this award on Spotify or whatever. Yeah. I'm like, I don't think so.
Yeah. That's
not falling for this one, pal.
Oh, very good. All right, well, back and better than ever. Very good. Let's take a trip down memory lane as we're getting close to the tournament, a day away. Remember? You remember this? Used to be the setup for people out there in our demographic, our age? That this was the setup when you walked in? It was exciting? This is like, okay, we got the game on. It's a tournament time. Small TV, VCR, roll that sucker in. Or you could. There was a spot where you could go during break while school was going on in high school, junior high, whatever, and watch the tournament games on Thursday and Friday. The teacher would bring it in. That was the setup what you used to have, or if your parents were nice enough to call you out sick. Wow, that would break down. Those were the days. And remember, how about when you used to, the four games would tip at the same time?
Oh, yeah.
How bad that was. You'd have
to get cut-ins to find out what was going on in the other, right? The cut-ins.
And I know you love Linda Cohn, but I remember in 1997.
15-2.
Yeah.
What did she see? What did she see in that Coppin State zone?
Coppin State beat South Carolina. They go to it. I think I saw the last 30 seconds as they dribbled the clock out.
Yeah.
Because Wisconsin was playing around the same time, and they wouldn't.
They wouldn't break away.
Yeah, they wouldn't throw it to Pat O'Brien.
No, they wanted to go to the local game only. Yeah.
Think about how bad
that was. Pat O'Brien with a cut-in, pending upset.
Would never walk the dog. It was bad.
No, that's regionally, you were going to get the same team until it was over with. I had South Carolina going a long way that year.
Yeah.
A long way, deep run that season. Did not happen. Blew up my bracket big time. But that was us too. Ron Schultz, legendary high school football and basketball coach for us.
Yeah.
Instead of like teaching history every year, here you go. Tournament games are on. Go ahead. It was great. But also, like my buddies and I, early high school, I can remember skipping to watch the ACC tournament. Randolph Childress went nuts.
Oh.
One of my very first memories of that. I wasn't going to school on Championship Thursday or Friday.
They had a run. They beat Carolina early in that tournament. Yeah.
They could drop like 38 in one of the games. Couldn't miss from downtown. It was awesome. Like, I'm at school? What? Come on. What are we doing here?
Yeah.
When you know, and I remember in grade school this happening, right? Fourth, fifth, sixth grade, the teachers bringing it in. When the Cubs in 84 won the division, and then they played the Padres in the NLCS, even the first two games were in Chicago were day games. We had no school in Dubuque. They canceled school so everybody could stay home and watch the Cubs.
Now that's strong.
Well, who could concentrate when the Cubs were on?
Yep. You think in the first round, in one specific game, the wrong team is favored. Do tell.
I hate to say this, but I do not like the matchup for Ben McCollum's Iowa Hawkeyes against Clemson. If you watch this Iowa team down the stretch, they have been very leaky defensively. In their last 10 regular season games, which were all Big Ten games, they ranked 359th nationally in adjusted field goal percentage defense, giving up 59% from inside the arc and 41% from three. The slow pace of Iowa is not going to do anything against Clemson, who plays at that slow half-court pace they always have. Oh, and by the way, Brad Brunell is now the dean of ACC coaches in his 17th year at Clemson. Think about that.
He's been there 17 years?
Yeah, and the longest tenured ACC coach at this point in whatever. What do they have, 35 teams in that league? I don't like it. I think Clemson should be a two-point favorite. This game ticked up to 2.5. I took 2, but you can get 2.5 right now.
Well, as Nigel Seeley says, don't be a moron. Put more on it.
Conversely, staying in my home state, I like the bracket for Iowa State. I do. They're the two with Virginia as the three. They could possibly get Kentucky or maybe even Santa Clara in the second round. I think Iowa State has a legitimate shot to get to the Final Four. I thought the Arizona-Iowa State Big 12 semifinal was probably the best college basketball game I've watched in the last 3 years.
It was so good.
Nobody lost that game.
Yeah,
they went
shot for shot.
And they said, they didn't guard Momo, and Momo hit 8 threes. They don't guard the line. That's Arizona's one weakness, and I do think Arizona's the best team in college basketball. They don't guard the three-point line that well.
When the brackets came out, I said, oh, my God, I hope Kentucky beats Santa Clara. But I took I hope it's less than 4. I hope Kentucky wins a close game. And because I will lay alt numbers with Iowa State against Kentucky. I think the Cyclones will blast that team. And I'm with you. I like their path. It's Michigan as the one.
Michigan's the one.
I think the way it's set up for both those teams, man, they got huge breaks in my opinion.
Michigan has not been the same team the last 2.5 weeks. No? I kept waiting in the Big Ten tournament for them to show that spurt, right? I laid the 5 against Purdue in the final, and I never had a shot.
What else have you bet?
I bet what everybody bet, but I bet it before the injury. I bet South Florida. That was a fate of Louisville before the injury, totally before the injury. That really wasn't a factor for me. I took Akron plus 8.5. I thought it was too many points with Hawaii. I just thought that was an outrageous number. Small play on Troy at 12.5. And I like Miami. I like Miami laying 1.5 in the first round, too.
Okay, You're a big unders guy.
Yeah.
You're not playing many unders?
I don't know, Mitch. I used to play first half unders in all these tournament games because I always said it's like the NBA playoffs. So suddenly you get out of these running games and they play possession for possession. I haven't done so that much lately, and I don't know if I'm amiss in doing that. It's just hard in basketball to sweat totals. There's so many darn possessions. I am interested, though, in seeing if we don't have any upsets like last year where we had virtually no upsets.
Right.
Is this what NIL has given us? That because all these mid-major kids who are any good are going to go sign and play for one of the Power Four conferences or Power Five or whatever you're going to say? Is that taking away the Cinderella story here? Some of these games, you Cinderella, these teams are only catching 2 or 3 points as big underdog seeds. So I don't classify. I'm talking about a team that's a 9-plus point underdog winning outright as being an upset.
Yeah, the drama might only be with the point spread this year.
It might be. But not that's who's okay. Win that's okay.
Sure, that's fine for us. Yep. Paul, run this by him. What happened allegedly anyway with this craps roll?
Well, it was all over social media, and you're the perfect guy to ask. And I know we had a lot of fun that one day where we were talking craps for about an hour. At Planet Hollywood, kid had the dice for 91 minutes. But the Planet Hollywood claims they only lost 61,000. He rolled for 91 minutes straight, hit a 6-point fire. Person next to me was max betting 5,000 on the number 10. 10 hit twice in a row. I was tipping the shooter. You got to tip the shooter. Tipping him $1,000. Pit boss on the phone last 45 minutes. A lot of people say nonsense. Or the people who were at the table didn't know what they were doing. What say you, Dice Man?
Say nonsense.
Yeah?
I do think nonsense. If the guy's betting a $5,000 10, he hit it twice, that's already 20,000 in only two rolls. Now, I always say how many rolls were there. 91 minutes, but was the game agonizingly slow?
Uh-huh.
Because there's a difference between a 91 minutes and a fast-moving game, how many rolls you can get in and not. But that seems almost impossible that this table didn't lose somewhere between $300,000 and $500,000. And it could have been more. You know how hard it is
that's
to hit
one
a
of the
fire
first
bet?
Comment was,
that,
yeah.
The full fire yeah. bet? That means he yeah. has to have all different six numbers and hit them all because yeah. you did no good to make an eight and then come back to an eight. You got to have all the numbers. It's really the toughest of all those bets. I like the all tall, all small if you want to play fun prop bets. But that's very hard. Yeah. I was involved in a roll. The longest roll I was involved in, I think, was at the place where Dre's is. Cromwell, where the guy rolled for about 75 minutes. I think I made 13 or 14,000, and I was like the fifth winner at the table, right? So, I mean, there were guys making a lot more because I started out small. I was stuck. So it seems if the roll's 90 minutes, that's short by a factor of 4X.
Wow.
How much the table
Yeah, they said
lost.
61,000 overall.
Come on.
And your table blew that away in 15, 16 minutes, less than
less,
that?
Yeah.
What's the longest you heard of? Here.
I thought here at the Cal there was a roll for over 3 hours, and they always have that Golden Arm tournament, and they count the rolls, right? And if you get to you win 40, you get something, 50, 60. I got to 59 one time. I used to play in that tournament. They have it three or four times a year. I'd play in it every time. And the whole thing was the final table was based on whichever 12 shooters had the longest rolls during the tournament. That's why they went. And if you got to 30, you'd get a card. They put you on the board.
That's fun.
It was very fun. That's how you got to the final table. And then it was a free roll once you got to the final table.
4.5 hours at AC, a lot of people say, that this Liscal did as well. Is there any secret? I can't. Isn't that hard?
For me, it's just about muscle memory.
Yeah?
I try to get in a spot that I'm comfortable with. And then if you started getting a roll going, you're trying to, you know, do the same thing, throw the dice the same way. I always try to short hop the wall. Uh-huh. Invariably, you're going to throw one long. You're going to hit a chip. You know, and then, of course, there's always the excuses when the role is different. Well, then that's the seventh game.
Sure, sure. Very good. Excellent.
All right, follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss, Paulie Howard, live in Vegas. Circa Resort Casino is a spot. Mike Palm is the VP of this great property. Wednesdays with the Maestro will continue coming up. He will give a yellow card for yellow cards. You cannot be serious. Coming up next. Welcome back. We continue with the maestro, Mike Palm, VP of Circa Las Vegas. He's wearing the hat today. Ooh. Looks great. You cannot be serious.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious.
Mitch, I had the hat made in your colors for Arkansas. All right,
here
we go. Let's start out with a little bit of Major League Soccer. By the way, impossible to bet unders. But they announced on March 9th that two players, Derek Jones and Yao Yeboah, who had been suspended last October put on administrative suspension because of questionable gambling activity, saying they had bet on their own sport. They gave them a lifetime ban on March 9th. Now, these two played together in Columbus, and both were suspected of having bet on Major League Soccer games during the 2024 and 25 seasons. An independent law firm did a complete investigation on this and found that not only did they bet on MLS, but they bet on MLS games that they were involved in, and they made bets about themselves getting a yellow card. In one particular game, on October 19th, 2024, Columbus was playing New York City Red Bull. Both bet that Jones would receive a yellow card during the contest, and sure enough, on a hard foul in the 35th minute, he got a yellow card. It was also believed by this law firm that they shared this information with other gamblers about the yellow card bets. So I say watch out, especially if you're betting on prediction markets where you're betting against somebody else. Again, people who have control over the results of a game. Jones is out of the league and not playing anywhere. But God love China and the Kingdom Hania, who have just signed Yeboah. And by the way, he scored his first goal in his first game over the weekend and got his first yellow card. Derek Jones and Yao Yeboah.
You cannot be serious.
I've been looking for, I missed this the last couple weeks, but boy, have I been waiting for this Magic City night in Atlanta. I was just so excited for it. They came out in January, the Atlanta Hawks, and said they're adding a promotional night to their calendar. Monday, March 16th, is going to be Magic City night. Now, for those of you who may not know, Magic City is a very famous strip club in Atlanta. And, of course, the Hawks said that it's an iconic cultural institution within their community. They had many activities planned, including having dancers from the club be there on that night for the game Monday against the Orlando Magic. Also known for its great kitchen, they were going to have the Lou Williams lemon pepper chicken wings featured during this game. And rapper T.I. would play the halftime show. Now, some God-fearing members of the NBA had started writing letters. Luke Kornet from the Spurs wrote a long open letter to the NBA and Commissioner Stern saying about how the women are trafficked and this goes against the brand of the NBA. Al Horford joined in, agreeing that they shouldn't do this. On and on it went. On and on it went until finally at the last minute, the strongest of all commissioners, Adam Silver, put his foot down and said, you cannot have Magic City night. Now, this move by Silver belies several physicians' reports that he, in fact, did not have a backbone. But we'll have further investigation on that. Despite the commissioner's ruling, T.I. still played to 18,600 at halftime. Atlanta Hawks!
You cannot be serious!
Finally, Alabama guard Aiden Holloway, early on Monday morning, was arrested by the Tuscaloosa Police Department. In his apartment was a large amount of cash and 3+ pounds of marijuana. 1 pound of marijuana is arguably intent to distribute. So felony charges were laid. Could serve up to 10 years. He went and he posted $5,000 bail. Now, I think the president of the university did Nate Oates a big favor because they kicked the kid out of school. This took the decision totally out of Nate Oates' hands. I'm not sure how the Puritan Oates would have gone. Let's just go back in history a little bit. We had Darius Miles. We had Brandon Miller. They've had 4 kids charged with felonies in the last 3 years that were starting members of their basketball team. Nate Oates did come out and make a statement. You know what he said? Not on my watch. We have standards at this university. Nate Oates!
You cannot be serious!
Yeah, I recall the Brandon Miller thing was not that long ago.
Yeah.
2 years ago.
2 years ago. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. One kid put up the gun.
Are you seeing much money on Hofstra at all in that game? It was, what, as high as 13, 13 and a half, now down to 11 and a half?
Yeah, we're seeing some. But that won't, you know, that won't be one of the top 5 bet games.
What do you know?
I'll
is
tell you that
as of right now.
I'll tell you that the South Florida game is the most handle that I've seen when I last looked, which was about 10 o'clock this morning.
Mm. They are popular. I think they can win the game. That can be one mini upset. Yes. Are they too popular?
That becomes a problem, right?
Yes.
Are they too popular?
Yeah, I'm concerned about Akron too. A lot of Akron, a lot of South Florida. Not only points, but to win the game.
Right.
A lot of that.
What is it like? This week has always been one of the best of the entire year here in Las Vegas. St. Paddy's Day was yesterday. Is that a good or a bad thing? Is if there's a perfect day to have St. Paddy's Day, which would it be?
The perfect day to have St. Paddy's Day is like this, either the Sunday before tournament week or the Sunday after. It was a little tough on a Tuesday. We had a huge crowd downtown, but it petered out early, right? Because a lot of people are working on Wednesday, right? Especially if people are taking days off later in the week for the tournament. I don't know that it does good to have it on, you know, like the Thursday or Friday, because, you know, how much can you peak the mountain? You're like, I'd rather take two separate really good days. I remember it's fallen several times, right? Because I'd be sitting up there in the Detroit ballroom and everybody would come in with their McDonald's filet of fish and their shamrock shakes.
Yep. We asked Derek this yesterday, NFL news about Survivor. He said that he would be super excited if they would announce a Thanksgiving Eve game. I reminded him, slow down, busiest travel day of the entire year. I can foresee a bunch of people still alive in the contest out here forgetting to get their picks in. What do you think of that?
Don't you want more games, though? I mean, I want more games in the short weeks. I three is pushing it. Two is like you can't do a week with two. It's just not fair. I think the big news is that we're going to have, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday to open the season?
No Friday.
Wednesday, Thursday.
That's it now, yep.
With the Seahawks opening up on Wednesday and the Australia game Thursday.
That's correct.
I see. I was hoping to get three.
I'm with you.
We could let people re-enter three times.
Right.
I thought we would really score there.
Give me a doubleheader on Black Friday in addition to the Wednesday night.
Why not?
That'd really help.
What about the men? Anything you can do anything for the men? The women are all shopping, right? The men can get two games. It used to be a really good college football Friday, right, with all the traditional games early. Mm-hmm. That's kind of waned away a little bit with some of those games moving to Saturdays.
Yeah.
I guess I'm the only person in the world who doesn't like the idea of the Thanksgiving Eve game. I don't like it. I don't want to be held hostage the entire weekend by the NFL. That weekend's too good already. College hoops tournaments, you got Thanksgiving, you got busy travel day, obviously.
Is this going to force you to cancel a trip home for Thanksgiving?
No. It's also a great gambling weekend anyway.
Oh, it's awesome.
A lot of people come out and visit Las Vegas, want to go see them. I don't want to have to be like, oh, guys, I can't meet you and do anything because all of a sudden I got another game coming up on Wednesday night. There's too much. It can be, the NFL can be too much.
No.
Yes, it can be.
I don't think there's such a thing.
I don't agree with you. I think they're too much international. I think it's because I think the quality of the international games because of the travel is not good.
I'm telling you, every day of the week is not a good thing. It's not a good thing.
I don't believe in it on Tuesday. Remember you did the Tuesday game during COVID or whatever that was? And Jay Feely was the, oh, I don't want to go through that again.
Well, they will when Christmas is on Tuesday.
Well, okay. That's once a year, Mitch.
No, I know.
What do you want? I mean, what will make you happy?
I want it like it is. They don't have to keep doing this.
Yeah, I don't know.
Life changes, right? A man never walks through the same river twice because he's never the same man and it's never the same river, all right?
Very good.
You have to keep evolving.
Less is more, I'm telling you. There's a reason why the sport got so big. It's because they only played it on Sundays and Mondays.
Tell me about your Badgers. I think your Badgers are really dangerous.
Oh, so
do I. Or they could also go out in the first round.
One of my biggest hates of the entire bracket reveal was seeing 4 and 5 in that same region.
I think it's a terrible draw for all three teams. 1, 4, and 5.
It's not easy for Arizona.
No, because Wisconsin can spread the floor and shoot threes with 5 guys, and Arizona doesn't defend the three. That's the one thing they don't do well. That's why Houston poses no problem for them, because Houston can't shoot the three at a high enough percentage to beat them. I want to give Greg Gard credit. Remember a couple years ago, he went out there and hired that kid from San Antonio?
Oh, yeah.
He totally changed the way Wisconsin plays basketball. Everybody wanted him fired. Every Badger fan I talked to said, get rid of Greg Gard. He made a great move, and you have to give him credit for it.
So he adapted to the times.
He did.
He really did, and he absolutely deserves a tip of the cap for that.
Well, the money brought to you by ProfitX. March Madness got a lot more interesting. ProfitX running the King of March. You can win free trips worth up to $10,000 just by betting the tournament. 10 pregame spreads or totals across the 67 games. Hit your volume goal. Hit 1,000 in volume. You're entered for the 5K trip. Hit 10,000. You're entered for the 10K trip. Flights, hotels, wherever you want to go, ProfitX covers it. Every 10 additional wins earns you another shot. Download the app, use code VSINMM, and start winning. King of March only on ProfitX. Get the app, code VSINMM. King of March only on ProfitX.
For those people in Las Vegas, you're going to be the man. You're going to be the maestro of the TVs, 12th floor at the D. All weekend?
All week. Well, no Sunday.
No Sunday.
Sunday's no good. Today we'll have it open for people to see, and then I'll be up there 7 a.m. till the games end Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Doug Gottlieb, my guest on Palm Saturdays on The Score this week.
All right.
I'll thank him and ask, but tell him, you can't use my credit card. I was at Notre Dame when he did that.
Don't do that.
I was there.
Too many years ago.
Come on.
By the way, 12th floor at the D, great spot to watch games. Bruce Marshall next.